Thank you, Ryan. Thank you, Matt. I want to just give a special welcome to friends, Melvin and Carolyn Reinhardt. Would you wave to us there, please? They were the first folks to support us as missionaries when we went to the South Pacific, and we moved to New England to do church planting. We were in school together here, and it's a special joy to spend a little bit of time. It's a privilege to be together for these few moments. Jonathan Willoughby, where are you? Jonathan? Hold your hand up, buddy. It was your grandmother that discipled, Grandma Char, that discipled my wife, Josefina. So thank you, buddy. You did a good job with Grandma. Not everyone can choose their grandma like you did. You did a good job with that. And I am very, very thankful for that. That helped my souvenir I brought back from Mexico to be very, very special. And so I'm very, very thankful. Where's AJ? Where are you? You gave a testimony. Is he in here? I hope he's not, because he'll be in trouble for skipping. AJ, are you here? AJ, going to Belize? Where are you, buddy? Well, you backslid. Look at Colossians 2:2. You don't even have your Bible, do you? Might have known. Look at Colossians 2:2. Colossians 2:2. The Apostle Paul had a great burden for these people, and he'd never seen them, AJ. And that's exactly what you were saying about Belize, right? It says, "For I would that ye knew the great conflict I have for you, and for them at Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face." And so he had a great, great burden, and yet he had never seen them. And so that's understandable. I'm really glad for you. You know, it's a real privilege. I remember, how many of you were either born outside the United States or raised? Would you stand? Will you do that? All of you international students are those. Awesome. That is such a blessing. Just a little touch of heaven. Thank you. I remember being All Souls Church in downtown London. And because of the British Empire's wide influence during the days of Queen Victoria, that church was packed with people from every country of the world. And I sat there and tears rolled down my face. And this is a little bit of what heaven's going to be like. Being in glory with people that are not from the United States. It's just a real privilege to meet so many people from all over the world. Well, open your Bibles to the book of Colossians. Title of my message this morning is Poking and Pounding. Can't believe you did that. An expositional message, Poking and Pounding. No. All right, Colossians, we're in chapter 1. Shall we quickly review? Got your pen ready and your notes ready? Let's see, the author's name is, and his wife's name is Epistle. We find that he was an apostle. We found his authority. He was apostle by the will of God. Verse 1, we find his amanuensis, the man who traveled with him, his name was Pastor Tim. We see that his addressee were to saints. Not only were they set apart, but they were also what? Faithful. Whoops, they were also what? Faithful. And then we notice they were brethren in the body of Christ. And then we find this wonderful adoration of Irene and of peace, that inner peace and grace and merited favor. And that comes from God our Father and what? The Lord Jesus Christ. Not just, it comes from God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. By the way, that's the prelude. Then we found the praise, and that was in verses 3 through 8. If we had more sessions, we would look at all of it in its context. But he began by being thankful, verse 3, and he shared their testimony. Number 1, their testimony of their faith. Repeat it, please. Number 1, their faith. Number 2, their love. And number 3, their hope. Then we move to truth. And that would be in verse, that's part of verse 5 and verse 6. And how they had heard it and what's the word? heeded the truth. Some of you didn't take notes. You know, I heard that most of you were going to graduate. They thought you were going to graduate. So we are going to count your notes for graduation. So the teacher, he was the founder of the church. And number two, he was the what? Fellow servant. Number three, faithful minister. Are you with me this morning? I know it's hard early in the morning, go through two sessions. All the coffee in all of West Virginia would not keep you awake. I understand that. You know, I am disappointed. You don't have Dunkin' Donuts around here very much, do you? I live 6 miles from the church. Between my house and the church are 11 Dunkin' Donut stores. 11. I mean, spirituality rises and falls on Dunkin' Donuts coffee. So you need more Dunkin' Donuts and your kids would be more spiritual, Dr. A. Founder, pastor, fellow servant, faithful minister. By the way, I don't drink coffee. I'm saved. I just want to want you to know that. When God saved my soul, the first thing he did was dry me up of coffee. So we find the praise in, we're not going to get any, we might as well quit right now. We're not getting anywhere. Verses 3-8, the praise, prelude, praise, and then the prayer. Hope you haven't forgot that. That was just an hour ago. Spiritual understanding. Number two, pray for what? Number three, that we might serve what? Fruitfully. Number four, that there we might see what? Steady growth. And number five, mightily wonderful. By the way, the last part that I didn't get to is giving thanks, saying thanks. You know, not only do we see the prelude and the praise and the prayer, but you know, in verses 15 through verse 20, we find the person we serve. And oh, I would love to look at that text. I brought all the notes for all of this, but just time is so hard. You know the person we serve? Look at verse 15. You got your pen ready? Write it beside your MacArthur Study Bible. I got one more time I can say that. No, he'll be here tonight. That's the last time you're going to hear that. And then you'll be, then you'll have your inspired Ryrie Study Bible with you. Open your Bible to page number 1804. All right, so at the bottom of your Ryrie Study Bible, page 1804, number one, he's the image of the invisible God. Write a one beside that. Number two, he's the firstborn of every creature. Write a two. Number three, he is, for by him were all things creator. So he is the creator. And then you'll go down to verse 17. Write a four. Besides, he is before all things. You staying with me? Write a five. Beside, all things consist by him. Now you're at verse 18. Write a six. Besides, he is the head of the body, the church. Write a seven. Beside, he is the firstborn from the dead. This is one of the greatest texts. Boy, if you can't preach from that, you cannot preach. And so that's the person we serve. Now, I'd love to go to the next text because it's so wonderful, but this is only review. Right beside, beginning in verse 20, people who serve. So we have the prelude, the praise, the prayer, the person we serve. Now the people we serve. And there's several awesome things about the people that, excuse me, the people who serve. Verse 20, they've found peace, having made peace through the blood of the cross. Number two, they've been reconciled, as he's reconciled all things unto himself. Jump clear down to verse 22. In the body of his flesh through death, we have been made holy. hagias. We have been set apart, right at four beside unblameable. Right of five beside unreprovable. Right of six beside verse 23, grounded. Right of seven beside settled. And right in eight beside not moved. And you can look up that's the people who serve. Well, there's only one more section in these next less than 30 minutes that we have, and I'm hungry, so it will be less. Notice, please, in verses 24 through 29. Now, you're going to need to fasten your seatbelts, put on your crash helmet, because we're going to try and cover these verses. My people at Merrimack Valley, they know when I say fasten your seatbelts and put on your crash helmets that they need to be ready to go. In this passage of Scripture, I'd like for you to look just for an... God's plan for ministry. And so God's plan for ministry. People who serve, on and on. Plan for service. Here we go. Verse 23 ends with, I, Paul, am made a minister. And then he says, who now rejoice in my suffering. I want to share with you some things about ministry. And I've been in ministry 40 years. 40 years. Church planner, a missionary, a pastor. Missions is my heart. And you'll notice it says he begins with the spirit of the ministry. Write that down. Number one, spirit of ministry. One word. It ought to be one of joy. And beloved, you can tell those who serve with joy and those whose hearts have become so calloused and cold. One of the worst things that's happened to ministry is professionalism. They've lost passion for serving the Lord. Here we see, he says, who now rejoice. And he just begins with talking about joy. I want to remind you of a very simple thing. Joy is Jesus first, others second, and yourself last. Joy. And so we find that God's servants must serve with great joy. And beloved, one of the reasons that so few of God's people, God's servants' children go into ministry is because they don't see the joy in their parents. Beloved, I don't do what I do because I have to. I do it because I want to. I love it. I get up in the morning and I can't wait to get to the office because of the joy of serving Jesus. Hymn writer knew what he was doing when he said there's joy in serving Jesus. And so, beloved, Jesus, Hebrews chapter 12 says, for the joy that was set before him endured the cross and despised the shame. You know, I hear people say, you know, I would have great joy if I could just go and serve someone else. I'll guarantee you, I don't care where you serve, you're going to find problems. The problem is really not the condition you're in. It is the connection you have with Christ. Beloved, that's where you miss the joy. Big church, little church, mission field, home field. And so joy. Beloved, joy is generated by humility. Never forget that. Joy is generated by humility. I've found so many who have lost their joy, and the main reason is selfishness and self-centeredness. Beloved, you lose joy when you begin to think, I deserve to be treated better. And beloved, we don't deserve anything. It's all by grace that we have anything that we do have. And so circumstances and situations and problems and pressures and trials and tribulations can come. Beloved, the joy of the early church leaders was a great testimony to the church. So situations and circumstances and problems and people can be thieves that are eager to steal your joy. Beloved, but you've got a connection with Christ. A little quickly, number two, the spirit of the ministry. Number two, I want you to note the suffering of the ministry. You say, oh no. Yes, it says, for now, rejoice in my sufferings for you. Sufferings in the ministry. No doubt this refers to Paul's imprisonment. Remember, he is writing this from the city of what? And where is he? And that's why we call it the what? The prison epistles. And so, but Paul never saw himself as a prisoner of Rome. The Bible tells us over and over, a prisoner of Jesus Christ. And beloved, it's how you see your circumstances. The early church considered it a joy that they have been found worthy to suffer for the shame of his name. Acts chapter 5, verse 41. To the church of Philippi, Paul wrote in chapter 1, verse 29, "For you it is given on behalf of Christ, not only to believe in him, but also to suffer." Say it with me. "But also to what? Suffer. And so, beloved, that I might know him." Listen carefully. "That I might know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his" what? "Suffering." And so, beloved, when we suffer, we learn things that we cannot learn in any other area. To Timothy, in 2 Timothy chapter 3, he wrote these words, "All those who live godly in Christ Jesus shall" what? "Suffer." Everyone together? Everybody who lives godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. And beloved, his sufferings are sufferings, he says, "in my flesh for the church," for the body's sake. When you go through tough times and difficult days and pressures and problems, do others glorify God because of what they see in your life? I mentioned to you about losing my bride of 33 years. What an opportunity I had to get grumbly and grouchy and difficult and discouraged and depressed. A lot of people do. But beloved, you know, I wasn't the first one to lose my bride. And I'll not be the last one to lose my bride. And I had a heavenly father who lost his only son. And so, beloved, it's just how you look. Paul received what was intended. And it says, for Christ. Beloved, for the body's sake. They couldn't get to Christ, and so they got to Paul. And we must, Galatians 6, Paul says, "I bear in my body the scars that show I belong to Jesus." The spirit of the ministry, the suffering of the ministry, you're going to suffer. Number three, I want you to note the source of the ministry. For it says, please, it says very simply, he says, "And fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church, wherefore I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God." He says, "I am made a minister." I am made a minister. The source of the ministry. Beloved, if you're in the ministry because grandma prayed that you're in the ministry or that she wanted you in the ministry, you're going to fail. You must realize, as the Apostle Paul wrote to Timothy, and he says, "I am very, very thankful to God, and they found me faithful. He put me in the ministry." The source of the ministry, beloved, is God's commission. It's God's command. It's God's choice. Beloved, you're not going to serve the Lord by accident. You need to realize you're going to be serve the Lord by a divine appointment. And so the source of the ministry, and it's according to the dispensation of God. Notice in verse 25, dispensation. Our Greek teacher will remind you that the word there comes from the word house and manage. And so it is the word we get economy from. Beloved, we are only stewards of the time he gives us on earth. We are only shepherds underneath the good shepherd, the great shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ. And remember, in those verses 15 through 18, just remember who you serve. In verses 15 through 18. You notice there in verse 25, "According to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God." You know, there we see number three. You'll notice with me, please, number four, the scope of the ministry. Spirit of the ministry, joy. The suffering of the ministry, it's going to come. The source of ministry, God puts us in the ministry to serve him. And now the scope. Listen carefully, beloved. You have attended Appalachian Bible College that's known for expositional preaching. I remember Dr. Pipkin standing and going expositionally through the sacred scripture. And I sat there and it's only my dream one day to be able to expound the Word of God. I think I'll share a little bit of that in another time. But because I'm getting hungry, I'll keep this short. And the text says, the scope is to fulfill the Word of God. That is, it's quantity and its quality, to proclaim the whole counsel of God. I've been 25 years in one church, and we go through it verse by verse, chapter by chapter. Our people remind me, word for word, and then verse by verse, or sentence by sentence, verse by verse, paragraph by paragraph, chapter by chapter, book by book through the Word of God. And after 25 years, I'm still going through new books, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Just like I'm doing today with you. No different. Beloved, the scope of the ministry is to proclaim the entire message. I think it's the Living New Testament. Use those words exactly. To proclaim the entire message. To proclaim the whole counsel of God. To completely, chronologically, expound and explain the Word of God in its historic, grammatical, contextual setting. Our philosophy of ministry is everyday evangelism, dedication to discipleship, and expositional preaching of the Word of God. And so, I don't know, someone asked the other day, said, how in the hardest, one of the hardest areas in America, we have 85% Roman Catholic in our area, how can you have a church your size? And I said, number one is because of hard work. There was nothing spiritual about that side. You know, just hard work. The hours that I put in and the hours I demand our staff to put in, this guy knows a little bit about that. It's just simply hard work. But you know, people today who sincerely want to know God, and they go to the emerging church and they don't see that. But beloved, God has revealed himself in the Word, in the Bible. And so they come and they want to hear the Word of God. And so they come to hear the Word. And so a church is not built on big days. It's not built on tricks and things that are done. It's built on expositional preaching of the Word of God, the scope of the ministry. Again, I love the words in the Living New Testament, to proclaim the entire message. I've got to quickly go on to number five, the subject of the ministry. I hope you're getting things down. The spirit of the ministry is to be one of joy. The suffering of the ministry, man, it is in my flesh for the body's sake. In the source of the ministry, we've been made a minister. The scope of the ministry is to fulfill, that is, to proclaim the entire Word of God. Number five, the subject of the ministry in verses 26 and 27. Do you remember when we started this morning, I mentioned to you that the church at Colossae was really struggling with Jewish legalism, and number two, with the Greek mythological, mystical area that was beginning to invade. Notice the third word in verse 26. It says, even the mystery, mysterion there. And we're not talking about not a secret teaching or some secret rite or some ceremony. You've been taught that word mysterion, that word mystery simply means that which was not as clear in the past is made clear. That which was not known as much in the past is now known. And beloved, when John took his quill off from parchment and the book of Revelation was finished, beloved, that completed the canon, the Word of God. And you have all the scripture that will ever be given from God. His complete revelation is in Genesis to Revelation. The subject of the ministry is mysterion. And you'll know that which was, you know, it was never completed. But now we have the complete Word of God. And so it was hid from ages or epochs, even back to the time of angels, and from men, generations, hid for thousands of years. Beloved, do you realize? Here we have that which that is complete. In divine revelation, we hold in our hands and hide in our hearts. It's complete. Feelings come and feelings go, but feelings are deceiving. My warrant is the Word of God, and nothing else is worth believing. Beloved, the subject of the ministry, the sacred scriptures, and it's been manifested to us, mysterion and manifestation, made known, declared, revealed to his saints. the message, Christ in you, the hope of glory. You know what the heart of everything is from Genesis to Revelation is that God wants to dwell in you. God wants to be with you from the time of Adam and Eve, the message, all the way to the end of the book of Revelation. God wants you. Christ in you, the hope of glory. The brother mentioned the people who just got saved. Christ went to live and dwell within them. I've never ceased to be amazed that God lives inside of me. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Romans 8, 9. The Son of God indwells. 1 Corinthians 6, 9. Why know ye not that your body is the what? Temple of the Holy Spirit, the dwelling. Ephesians 2, 20. We are His habitation. And so He dwells within us. He lives within us. Beloved, that's Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's our message. Leading people to Christ, discipling people, expounding, explaining the Scripture. And beloved, you'll notice in your text, please notice this as you're looking there in your text, Christ in you, the hope of glory. You say, Pastor Lay, why does that mean the hope of glory? Beloved, that's the anchor of our soul. His presence is our anchor of the promise of heaven. His presence is the guarantee of future bliss in glory. It's the seal of our salvation. Tim, sometimes we sing the chorus, Christ liveth in me, Christ liveth in me. Oh, what a salvation. Christ liveth in me. Let's see. What's the first thing, the first S we had was what? Oh, come on, folks. What? Number two, the... Number three, number four, number five, and number six. Oh, I haven't given it yet. Style of ministry. Look at the style of ministry. There's three things you must never forget. You need to preach, you need to warn, and you need to teach. You see them there? You guys underline them in your Bibles. You know, it says, preach, warn, and teach. He says, whom we preach, warning every man, teaching every man. Who do we preach? The people, beloved. And what do we preach? The Word of God. Preaching simply means proclaiming Christ, publicly proclaiming. 1 Corinthians 1, it pleased God by the foolishness of what? Preaching to save them that believe. Romans 10, how shall they preach unless they be sent? 1 Corinthians 1, we preach Christ crucified. You know, I'm afraid the pulpits today are growing cold because there's no passion in the preaching. And it breaks my heart. Dr. A, dear friend of ours who was one of the greatest preachers, today he preaches very little. Everything is done in drama and everything is done. You know, and I like drama. And we use PowerPoint and I use them for illustrations of my sermon. Beloved, but nothing can ever take the place of preaching. Preaching the Word and warning. By the way, if you're familiar with nathetic counseling, that's the Greek word that's used here. That's the basis for the Greek word that's used here, to warn. And beloved, let me challenge you to care enough to confront. Don't become so comfortable in your Christian experience that you don't care enough to confront. And so it is lovingly going up alongside someone as iron sharpeneth iron, nathetically counsel. For 3 years, he didn't cease to warn everyone day and night with tears in Ephesus, the capital, where Pastor Epaphras had gone over and gotten saved. And went back and started this church. And teaching, don't forget Didasco. By the way, in Ephesians chapter 4, it's Poimen Didasco, pastor, teacher. And those two go together, pastoring and teaching. And the sad thing today, we have those who can lead and cannot feed, and those who can feed and cannot lead. A pastor needs to lead and feed. Needs to be a teacher of the Word of God, verse by verse, expositionally, in its context, practical application, but also lead his people. Leading and feeding, teaching, didasco. It's a part of Matthew chapter 28. Boy, am I getting hungry. Notice number 7. That we see the style of ministry. And it was three things, preaching, and it was counseling, it was warning, and three, teaching. Notice the sum of the ministry in 28. 8, the sum of the ministry. He says, teaching that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Dr. A has these 2x2, so that we might take that which has been taught to us by Dr. Ryder and the faculty and the staff here, and we can pass it on to someone else. I have eight assistant pastors. Not all of them are as good as Tim was, but I believe I have 8 assistant pastors or 7 assistant pastors. We have 8th one's coming, I guess. And we have 2 interns. So this, I have 10, you know, and I look at it as my life's thrill to be able to pour into their lives. Our text simply says, present every man perfect in Christ. Time does not allow us to develop this, and oh, how I wish that we had, and talk about the tools of perfection in Ephesians chapter 4, and et cetera, but we cannot do so. So I think we ought to close, but I'm not ready yet. The sum of the ministry, that every man perfect in Christ, verse 29. Can you add one more to your list? Verse 29, the strength of ministry. Boy, this is all about serving. The Spirit, enjoy. The suffering, we're going to do it here while we're in the flesh, but we're going to do it for the body's sake. It's for Christ. The source of the ministry is expounding and explaining the sacred scriptures. That's the economy, the dispensation that God has given us. And the scope of ministry, and we are going to fulfill the word verse by verse, contextual, completely from Genesis through Revelation is our goal. And the subject of the ministry is that Christ in you, the hope of glory. The style of ministry. We're going to preach, we're going to warn, we're going to teach. The sum of the ministry, and that is to present every man perfect in Christ, and the strength of the ministry. Read it with me, please. Notice verse 29. Whereunto, aloud please, whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. I'm going to do it, and the 3 words are labor and striving according to his working that worketh in me mightily. And so the strength of the ministry. I want to remind you that there is absolutely, absolutely, you are not going to work 40 hours. I tell our folks that the average is 60 to 75 hours a week. Labor. So where do you get copious from? It's work till you're exhausted in ministry. There'll be days that you'll become weary and days through tiresome toil and laborious labor. But beloved, labor in the ministry. My life verse, Romans 12:11, not slothful in ministry, but fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Determine and be dynamic and be devoted to the Lord in your ministry. Striving. You know, the Greek word there for striving is the word we get agonized from. First word is the word we would get copious from, much. And second word is the word for agonizing. And so it refers to an athlete who just puts out his all. Serving the Savior, beloved, serving the Savior demands maximum effort. I can tell the pastors out golfing on Monday and who are out just constantly running around and doing everything else but the sitting in their seat in their office, studying and on their knees and praying and knocking on doors and visiting and going to hospitals. Beloved, and it says, according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. And so, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, not I live, but Christ liveth in me. You see those words, the last? According to his working, which worketh in me mightily. And so, beloved, our power must be supernatural. And beloved, that will allow you, that will raise you above your human limitations. Never forget that. I probably would have been voted the least to succeed when I graduated from Appalachian Bible College. First time I preached, where's Mike who gave his testimony about English? Brother, when I my first speech, Dr. Pipkin put his head down on the table, said, I have never heard anyone murder the king's English like that. And then my first speech, there was a speech, he said, that was, I thought he said halitosis. He said, that is atrocious. You know? But beloved, our weaknesses are opportunity for his strength. Don't forget that, Mike. Work hard at it. But it enables us to rise above our human limitations. And beloved, if you don't, come on up, Dr. Anderson, I'm getting hungry. Beloved, if you don't expect great things from God, and attempt great things for God, you'll be worthless.